It's your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC for 20 great years has the best OTR on our live streaming. And continue tuning in to the Radio Book Channel, along with the RTC Music Channel, all at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Hello, this is Jim Dolan. Welcome to the RTC Weekly Download. Well, today we've got comedy, music, and detectives. We'll start with our detective. This is Jack Webb, before Dragnet, and he played the role of Pat Novak on Pat Novak for Hire. It's an interesting show, and let's give it a listen. So, from 1949, Rita Malloy on Pat Novak for Hire.
Pat Novak for Hire.
Sure, I'm Pat Novak, for hire. That's what the sign out in front of my office says, Pat Novak, for hire. Down on the waterfront in San Francisco, billing doesn't mean much. Everybody's got the same act. They're all out to turn a fast buck, and when you're in business down here, everything but murder is a parlor trick. Once in a while, your eyelids get sore from winking it too much, but it's a living. You get to meet the best people in town. There's only one hooker. You're liable to wake up some morning dead, because around the waterfront, you don't need a union card for trouble. It sneaks up and paws you like a wet ghost. I found that out when I met Bruno Zweis. I closed up early Tuesday night and I went home to catch up on last month's sleep. I don't know how long I was in bed. Must have been about 11 when I woke up. The room was dark and as stale as last year's Christmas candy. I had the goofy feeling that somebody was in the room with me. I was breathing kind of hard, and I stopped to have a listen. Somebody was sitting on my bed. Either that or the landlord had put in an echo. I listened again.
Hello, Novak.
You're mixed up, friend. I pay the rent here.
Get your hands away from the light, Novak. Just be a good boy, and you can collect your old age pension.
Now, look, I'm not crazy about waking up with strangers sitting on my bed, especially if they got baritone voices. Now, say your piece and beat it.
Don't get jumpy, mister. When your eyes get used to the dark, you're going to see a gun about a foot away from your nostrils. I want the keys to your boat, Novak.
Get them in the morning at 25 bucks a smell.
I want them now. Just tell me where they are. I'll do the rest.
Don't get big-hearted.
I don't want chatter and cocktails. I want those keys. Unless you want your face to look like a rump roast, you'll start talking.
The keys are in the bottom drawer of the desk.
That's the boy. Gonna borrow your boat a while. You'll get it back by noon tomorrow. There's the boat keys.
Two of them are. The rest open the front door of the U.S. Mint.
Sorry I can't stay around, Novak. You sound like a card. Sleep tight, Novak. This'll have to do for a lullaby.
He didn't even give me time to pick a dream. I stretched out on the floor as dead as a Philadelphia nightclub. I don't know how long I stayed out of the ball game. Must have been a couple of hours, because when the phone rang, it was past midnight. I reached over to pick it up, but my hands were as steady as a maple leaf in a hurricane, and my head was big enough to sell by the pound. I finally found it in the dark and started talking. Hello?
Hello, Novak. This is Joe Paz down at Pier 19. You awake?
Sure.
You sound groggy.
Oh, it's a sedative. What's on your mind?
One of your boats just drifted in. guess what?
I don't have to. It's smashed up and you want to offer me $50 salvage.
That's right, Novak. You're psychic.
I'm a patsy, you mean. Some gunsel borrowed the boat a couple of hours ago. Came in here, told me a bedtime story, and took the keys.
Well, you better hop right down here.
It'll keep, Joe.
No, it won't. Hurry up or you'll run a dead heat with homicide. There's a dead guy in the boat.
Well, it must be my playmate.
I don't know. He didn't say. But you better grab a cab and get on down here. There's going to be a lot of questions.
Sure. If you meet any good answers, save a couple for me. From now on, there was no waste motion. I knew that. If homicide was on the case, that meant Inspector Hellman. He's a real nice guy, if you like his type. I had to do something soon. If I didn't, I'd have about as much chance as a pound of liver at a cat show. So I jumped into some clothes, and I was starting out of the apartment when I missed my wallet. The keys were attached, and that gunsel had taken the whole works. I began to get mad. For $70, you can get a scotch hangover instead of the kind I had. And if you're lucky, a couple of good memories. So when I drew up at Pier 19, it didn't look like the sunny side of the street. Joe Powers was waiting for me.
You got the first round, Patsy. Homicide hasn't showed yet.
I'm full of luck tonight. Where's the boat?
Oh, right over here.
Lots of fog tonight, huh, Joe?
You're walking on it. Well, there it is. How's your insurance, Patsy?
All right, except I'm not carrying any on that dead guy. Who is he, Joe?
I don't know. He's your passenger. You roll him.
All right, give me a hand. No, push him over on the other side, will you, so I can get in the pocket.
Is he the same guy that took the keys?
I don't know. If he is, he never looked lovelier. There's nothing in this pocket. This one's empty, except for a comb. He sure spent my $70 in a hurry. Must have thrown in the wallet for a nightcap.
No identification.
We should have bought a scorecard.
Hey. Hey, here on the floor. It's a key.
Let me see that, Joe. Room 425, Royal Arms Hotel.
Where is it?
That's a dive down on Turk Street. Well, say hello to homicide for me.
Oh, you're not bright tonight, Novak.
Well, I'm not going to stay around here. They'll pick me up faster than a gin fizz.
What am I going to tell them?
Anything you like, Joe. Shift into freewheeling and let them follow, but I'm not going to hang around for a pinch. I'm one boat and $70 short.
Tell it to homicide.
I don't like manual labor that much. See you later. I started for the Royal Arms Hotel. On the way, I picked up the only honest guy I know, a bottle baby by the name of Jocko Madigan. He's a good man, except he thinks it's a waste of the taxpayers' money to put alcohol in torpedoes. I hauled him out of the Hunt Room bar, and we walked down the street to the Royal Arms Hotel. It was the perfect spot for a missionary. The lobby looked like the first act of Rain. There was a pinball machine in one corner, a couple of last year's girls in this year's slacks, and a bleary-eyed little night clerk. He looked like a well-groomed laundry bag, and he gave us the fisheye as we started upstairs. Room 425 was down at the end of the hall. Jocko didn't care if we ever got there.
Patsy, we have no business coming up here. We're in search of fool's gold.
We're in search of my $70.
Exactly. I view you as my penance, Patsy, the sackcloth for a misspent life.
If you can shake off that buzz, you'll find out I'm in trouble.
You'll always be in trouble because you're a patsy, and you're dangerous because you move in the twilight zone between good and evil without any predisposition toward either one.
Yeah, all right. Here it is, 425. Nobody home. Let's go in.
It's housebreaking.
Now, look, Jocko, I want my $70. I'm going in.
Patsy, sometimes you terrify me. I think you'd pick the lock to the gates of heaven.
I would if they had my $70. Come on. The guy's dead down in my boat. We won't hurt his feelings. We'll just snooze around a minute and get up. It was a pretty room if you like dead women on your rugs. She was stretched out in a pale yellow dressing gown, as quiet as an April morning and twice as pretty. A dull red scar ran across her temple where somebody had laid an iron shovel. She didn't belong in this hotel, because she was wearing a necklace and a bracelet that left a gap in somebody's pocket. And from the ringside, she looked all right. Jocko noticed it, too.
She has lots of character.
Yeah, but where's my 70 bucks?
She's a nightclub dancer.
How do you know?
Her picture's plastered all over the wall there. She's the headliner at El Palateo, Miss Rita Malloy.
I wonder who the guy on the desk is there.
Boyfriend, probably. Let's get out of here, Patsy.
Oh, wait a minute. How about that dead guy in the boat? Where does he fit in?
I'll listen to that one, Novak.
Oh, Hellman.
What happened to the girl? She died laughing at you?
It's Rita Malloy, a piece of change from the El Palateo.
Uh-huh. Got a hat, Novak?
Nope.
Then you're all ready. Come on.
Oh, get your brain lined up and look at her. She's been dead a couple of hours.
You're still eligible, Novak. On your way down, you can explain that guy at Pier 19.
Oh, you can't be that dumb, Hellman.
I'm smart enough to see you peeking over the eight ball. You look like a 10-to-1 shot, Novak, and I got my money on you all the way.
If you're going to make this thing add up, you can't do it alone.
I'll try.
You know, that's what Firpo said. So I don't look good on this one. I'll look worse if I leave it up to you. You couldn't find a hangnail if you knew what hand it was on.
You got 24 hours, Novak. I'm going to piece things together, and then I'm going to make a pinch. Pick out a soft spot.
Yeah?
Yeah. Stay near the phone. If it rings and a man answers, that'll be homicide. Good night.
Hellman was right. I looked like a sure bet for the rotogravure section. I was beginning to run out of silver linings, and I knew it. I didn't have an answer for anything. The guy in the boat was still a stranger, and Rita Malloy was still dead. I was sitting in the middle of a high-stake game with a pair of trays. When we left the hotel room, I had the funny feeling that there was something wrong back there. I didn't know what. I just knew there was something wrong, the way you feel when you pick up the wrong hat and put it on. The position of the body, those pictures on the desk, I didn't know, but there was one detail that didn't set right. Well, I told Jocko to hang around headquarters, and I started for the El Palateo. It was like all the rest. A little melancholy bar on Mason. A fire trap with a cover charge. The decor looked like early Franco. The floor show was on as I fought my way up to the bar. Excuse me, please. I'm sorry, lady. Can I get through here, please? How about a drink?
Your idea. What do you want?
Scotch.
Soda or water?
Water. You got a nice club here.
We like it. 80 cents.
Too bad about Rita Malloy.
Yeah?
You don't seem heartbroken about it.
I'm not a mother. 80 cents.
Anything wrong, Eddie?
No, boss. This guy's crying in his beer about Rita Malloy.
Oh. I'm Manny Ryan.
You own the club?
A piece of it.
My name's Novak. Call me Patsy at the moment. The police think I killed Rita Malloy.
When you go on trial, Mr. Novak?
I don't. That's why I came down here, to find out which one of your people killed her.
I see.
She was mixed up to her ears with some thick hoodlum.
You, Mr. Novak?
No, a guy right out of your set. He came rolling in with the tide this morning, playing rigor mortis all over my boat.
Look, Novak, you better go see someone else to tell your troubles to. I'm a busy man.
Yeah, well, so am I, getting out of a murder rap. You knew her, Ryan. In fact, I got an idea you knew her pretty well.
Let's not talk that way about the dead.
Your picture splattered all over her apartment. Were you engaged to her?
That's one way of putting it.
You better have a big fat alibi ready for tonight. Homicide's going to think you killed her.
I'm betting on you for the finals, Novak. I don't need an alibi. She was a friend of mine.
That's why you need one. People just hate their enemies, but they kill their friends.
You better stay out of the public library, Patsy. You're not smart enough to understand epigrams.
I'm smart enough to find out where you were from 10 o'clock until midnight.
Go ahead. Circle around the club. But keep a drink in your hand. We run for profit.
I didn't get much out of the doorman. He wanted a first mortgage to talk, but one of the busboys opened up. He told me that Ryan and the girl had brawled the night before. Also, that Ryan left the club for about an hour tonight. Well, that put him on the list anyway. But it began to look more and more like a one-horse race. Well, I got one other lead. A clarinet player in the band wanted to harmonize with Rita Malloy, but there wasn't much else to go on. And then I spotted the gal who had taken Rita Malloy's job in the show. She was just finishing her number, so I followed her back to a dressing room. When she opened the door, I got a nice warm feeling like a melted cheese sandwich, and I was looking around for a rope to hang on. She was pretty. And when she said hello, you knew it was time to send in the varsity.
Good evening.
For some people, you mind if I come in?
It's late in the season. I can't be choosy.
I'm Pat Novak.
I'm Tony Drake. What do? Tremble?
Talk, mostly. Did you know Rita Malloy?
Around here, that was an occupational hazard.
The police think I killed her.
Did you?
No. When I got there, they were tearing down the goalposts.
Oh, that's too bad. I'd have been very grateful.
Something I'd like to try.
Are you switching the topic, Mr. Novak, or have I been in the big city too long?
I just want to know who killed her. You got any ideas?
Nope.
How about your boss?
Maybe. She was getting a little frayed around the edges.
How's his temper?
No worse than a cobra's. He might have done it, but I doubt it.
Anybody else?
He was putting in a little overtime with a thug.
Not a big, porky guy with a deep voice?
I never saw him. I just heard that he was trying.
Must have been quite a line. Anybody else? How about that clarinet player?
No play. He was just a salmon swimming upstream.
I see. Well, do me a favor, will you, Tony?
All right. You only get one, so make it a good one.
They're tailoring me for a trip over the hill unless I show up with a fistful of answers. Now, can you give me a list of all of Rita Malloy's friends?
I can write them all down on a piece of confetti.
I mean everybody close to her. The people around the club here. The people on the outside. I'll pick it up in a half hour at your apartment.
At my apartment?
Yeah, at your apartment.
All right, don't get sore. I was just inquiring, not complaining.
All right. One other thing, Angel.
Yes, Patsy?
Don't forget to put yourself on that list. Be seeing you. Well, it was good to get out of there. When she started walking towards you, you felt like a shovel full of scrap iron in a Pittsburgh blast furnace. Well, I called up Jocko at headquarters. He didn't seem to be worried about me. He was thirsty. The guy on the boat hadn't been identified yet. The coroner said he died of severe bruises and that Rita Malloy checked out with a fractured skull. I gave Jocko Tony Drake's number and I started for her apartment. I couldn't have done better with Aladdin's lamp. She had the list and a bottle on hand. I went over the list with her, and then it turned out she had insomnia. The radio was turned down to room temperature. I was working on my fifth drink when the phone rang.
Oh, let it ring, Patsy.
Oh, I better get it, baby.
I think you're a sissy.
No, prison pallor wouldn't look good on me. Hello?
Patsy?
Yeah?
Are you busy?
Well, depends on your point of view. What's up?
Not tearing you away from that list of suspects.
Let's have it, Jocko.
They just identified the dead guy on your boat. His name is Bruno Swice. He's wanted in Miami, Florida. He's a hired gunman.
Good. Now jump over and see Paul Stangle at the Chronicle Morgue, huh?
I already have. There's no tie-up between Bruno Swice and Rita Malloy.
There's gotta be. Those two killings are tied up like ham and eggs.
Hellman just got a report from the Harbor Patrol. They found a buoy knocked out of place. They figure your boat did it and Bruno got killed in the crash.
What does that do to things?
Oh, it clarifies them enormously. This way you're going to hang for only one murder. Good night, lover.
I knew Jocko was right. Hellman could rig me as long as he had only one case to work on. He's a single-celled animal, and this was just about big enough to fit into his brain. Well, I left Tony's apartment and I walked over to the El Palateo. It must have been about 4 o'clock in the morning. It was still dark enough for me to kick in a back window without being seen. I headed straight for Manny Ryan's office, and I started going through his stuff. It was like trying to separate a ton of salt and sugar dumped in the same bin. I went through most of the drawers, and in the last one, I got a hold of something. I grabbed the phone on Ryan's desk and I called Hellman. Well, I wasn't sure, but I figured he could try this one on for size anyway.
Police headquarters.
Give me Hellman and homicide.
Yeah.
They must have put their best men on his trail because they found him inside a half hour.
Hello, Novak.
I'm in Manny Ryan's office. He owns the El Palateo. I just rifled his desk.
That's a minor offense for you.
I got a hold of last month's phone bill. Guess what?
It's too high.
The office put through 2 calls to Key West, Florida, the last part of this month.
4 o'clock. I'm barely interested. Go ahead.
Bruno's wife hired out as a gunman. San Francisco is a long way from home plate. That means somebody sent for him.
And you're trying to put the finger on Manny Ryan.
That's right. That silver frame you picked up at Rita Malloy's, take a look at the guy in it. That's her boyfriend, Manny Ryan.
We'll check on it. In the meantime, keep squirming, Novak. You look pretty.
Oh, you're smooth, Hellman.
Smart talk's not going to keep you out of the chair, Novak. Stay handy. We've only got a short extension cord.
Yeah, well... Hello, Hellman. Hello, Lupos. Frank, is Jocko Madigan there? Good, put him on, huh? Hello, Jocko. Now listen, I'm up at Manny Ryan's place. Yeah, that's right. I'm not sure, but I think that Ryan's the... My head must have looked like a jackpot. Everybody in town was hitting it. I rolled over and played dead for about 5 hours. It feels better when you've had a dress rehearsal. I woke up in my apartment. The sun was streaming through the window and hit the bed. I looked like the muslin counter after a sale. It turned out I was the host and didn't know it. Jocko was sitting at the table having breakfast. The bottle was almost half shot.
Good morning. How's the other world?
Can't you leave that stuff alone?
Do you have a headache?
Of course I have a headache.
Well, I haven't, so stop lecturing me.
How'd I get up here?
I dragged you here by the heels. I met all the other hucksters on the way.
All right, stop being funny and help me up, huh?
I am the victim of a common error. You don't like me because I'm not entertaining when I drink. You don't object to my drinking, you object to my lack of wit.
Oh, shut up, will
you? Well, it's discouraging to be condemned on moral principle when it's really a flaw in nature. By the way, I think they're going to arrest you for the murder of Rita Malloy.
What about Ryan?
I've recommended clemency.
All right, come on. What about Ryan?
You bungled it. By the time Hellman got to him, he had an alibi all framed. The calls to Key West could have been made by anybody in the club, and Ryan's covered for the time of the murder.
How about the others?
They look good, too. Your girlfriend, Tony Drake, was gone for a while the night of the murder. Hellman won't bite. She's just sitting there ready to spring an alibi.
That's right. With legs like that, she can dig up a cousin.
You better get worried, Patsy.
I am. The El Palateo is a dead-end street. I don't know where to go from there. That guy Bruno in the boat could help. There's some connection between Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy.
You're the only connection I can think of.
Yeah.
Hello, Novak. This is Hellman.
Yeah?
You were right about Bruno's wife and Rita Malloy. We just went through her safety deposit box.
I'll bet you handled the money.
She had a clipping on Bruno's wife from a Miami paper, 1937.
Go on.
Divorce action between Zweiss and Miss Olga Pryor.
Well, did you look up Olga Pryor?
That's where we run out of gas. Nobody knew her. We have no description.
Well, how about Rita Malloy? Any dope on her before 1937?
I was going to ask you. You were in the room with her when she died, don't you know?
No, I don't.
I'm disappointed. I figured you'd know a little about her habits.
Huh?
You wrote the book, mister. I figured you for an answer.
Yeah, I got one. And you just gave it to me, Hellman.
Huh?
Meet me at the El Palateo in a half hour. Now, if you're a real good boy, I'll tell you who killed Rita Malloy.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah.
That's all I want to know, Novak.
Things were falling into place like a fixed roulette wheel. Right from the first, I knew that there was something goofy about the picture in Rita Malloy's hotel room. I wasn't sure. I just knew I had something in the back of my mind. I didn't tumble until Hellman tipped the mitt. And then everything was cakes and ale. I sent Jocko up to room 425 in the Royal Arms Hotel, and I told him to get a description of every dress in the closet. I checked at the desk, and I got the name of Rita Malloy's cleaners. I ducked over there, and I got a list of every dress that she turned in for 3 months. I met Jocko, and we compared the list of dresses. Well, it jibed fine, except for one thing. There was a missing white dress. It had been to the cleaners before, it wasn't there now, and it wasn't in that hotel room. Well, we went over to the El Palateo to find it. Jocko didn't want to buy the scheme at all.
Patsy, I protest the notion of breaking into a lady's dressing room.
Stop worrying, will you? She's not going to be there.
Then it's futile as well as immodest. Besides, how do you know Rita didn't throw away the dress?
I'll give you better than track odds on that one, Jocko. Here we are. Come on. Now look, you take the closets and find that white dress. I'm going through the desk for grease paint.
You should be going through a woman's closet. It's more in the nature of things.
Just look, huh? There's enough grease paint here for the whole Iroquois tribe. Did you find anything?
Yes. Watch this.
Just look for the white dress, Jocko. Hey, what's that in the corner?
Where?
Over here.
I don't see anything.
Well, down here, look, see? Well, well. That feels good, doesn't it, Jocko? Like a spell of perfect weather.
Same grease paint?
Well, it won't take us long to check. Here, you open a couple of these jars.
Don't forget your apron, Patsy.
Hello, Tony.
What are you doing?
Getting ready to build a fire under you. You're going to make nice smoke, too.
I liked you better when you were dumb, Patsy. You don't look good with a Ph.D.
Oh, put away the gun, baby. Remember, this is your second trip to the plate.
Give me the dress, Patsy.
It won't fit.
I'll worry about that. Just toss it over by the door here.
I'll do better. I'll bring
Stay
it.
Stay where you are, Patsy.
It's my ticket out, chum.
You're a good guy, Patsy. Stay out of my way.
It's your role, baby.
Patsy! Patsy, please stay away from me.
Come on, give me that gun.
Patsy, please!
Give me that gun!
Sorry, Patsy. That's all I could do.
Yeah, sure. You want to take a look at her, Jocko?
Put her down on the floor.
Yeah. What do you say, Jocko?
No dice.
Well, you can't win them all, Tony.
You play too rough, Patsy.
You still got a good batting average, Novak.
Hello, Hellman. You better make a fast pinch.
She do it?
Yeah.
She got kind of clumsy in the last round, didn't she?
Not at all, Copper. They had me coming and going. When you're as far back as I am, they don't pick up the option.
Let's get out of here, Jocko. I'll check with you later, Hellman.
Be a good boy, Patsy. I'm going to miss you. You were getting to be my favorite hobby.
Yeah.
I don't know how you were on the distance stuff, but you were sure something on the sprints.
Yeah. Be nice to her, Copper. She could go in the mud herself. It was blackmail, of course. Tony was once married to Bruno's wife. Rita Malloy found out and started to squeeze Tony. Well, Tony wouldn't buy that, so she killed Rita Malloy in her hotel room. She made one mistake. I didn't tumble until Hellman mentioned a woman's habits. Then I knew what was wrong with that picture back in Malloy's hotel room. It hit me like a discordant note in music. Rita Malloy was lying on the floor in a dressing gown, but she was still wearing her bracelet and necklace. Well, when a woman undresses, she always takes her jewelry off first, and then she takes off her dress. Rita Malloy didn't do that, so I took a flyer and decided that somebody had taken the dress off her and put on a dressing gown. Why? Well, because there was something wrong with the dress. It pointed too much in one direction. Well, it could be a lot of things, but probably grease paint. Tony called Bruno out here. He was supposed to use my boat to dump the body, and when he didn't make it, Tony got scared and lugged away the dress. My $70? Well, it would have looked better on a fixed fight. Well, Hellman asked only one question. How did I happen to know that when a woman undresses, she always takes off her jewelry first? I must have read it somewhere.
The Armed Forces Radio Service has just brought you Pat Novak for Hire, starring Jack Webb. Pat Novak is produced by William P. Russo. Jocko Madigan is played by Tudor Owen. Inspector Hellman is played by Raymond Burr. Music was composed and conducted by Basil Adler. Be with us again next week when over most of these same stations we'll bring you Pat Novak for Hire. Pat Novak for Hire was previously released by ABC, the American Broadcasting Company, for listeners in the United States, and rebroadcast for our men and women overseas. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
January 5th of 1949, from the series Pat Novak for Hire. Now time for our second feature of this podcast. It's a Martin and Lewis show, and their guest is Frank Sinatra. This is from January 18th of 1952.
Transcribed.
From Hollywood, we present the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show. Brought to you by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anison for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And by Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And now it gives me great pleasure to introduce our master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. Well, the calendar says that another Friday has rolled around, which means another 30 minutes of doing or dying for dear old Chesterfield's Anison and Dentine. However, things are going to be a little different tonight. You see, we've been joined by another very nice sponsor who asked us to do an extra 15 minutes. So tonight we'll be around for 45. I know that peace will be shattered when my partner Jerry Lewis, the Velvet Foghorn, arrives. So while all is quiet, I'd like to try a little Bella Bimba.
Ma come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba. Ma come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba.
My bella, bella, bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba. My bella, bella, bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba.
Always sing, bells always ring, whether it's summer or winter or spring. Be like the birds, just at the words, sing this happy song. Ma come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba. Come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba. Look everywhere, love's in the air. Dance through the life with the devil may care. Look in your heart, then you will start to sing this happy song. Come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba. Ma come balla bella bimba, bella bimba, bella bimba.
My bella, 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 bimba, bella, bimba, bella, bimba.
Ma come balla, bella, bimba, bella, bimba, bella, bimba. Ma come balla bella bimba, bella bim.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it becomes my pleasure. Jerry Lewis, how many times must I tell her you're not supposed to come out here until you're introduced?
What introduced? I'm Jerry, you're Dean. How do you do? Pleased to meet you. Let's get on with the show.
Now, look, Jerry, forget it. Forget the introduction. Now, tell me, have you finished my laundry yet?
I finished your laundry. Listen here, Dean Martin, I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to make everybody think that just because I'm younger and I'm an idiot, I do all your laundry. You want people to think I take care of your shirts and I wash and starch and dry and iron them, but it won't work. See, I'm wiser, buddy. I'm wiser. And another thing.
What?
The lipstick mark on your blue shirt doesn't rub out.
Now, listen, Jerry, I'm getting mighty tired of your complaining. What makes you act like such a big shot?
Listen, Alfred.
Alfred?
I read in one of them movie magazines that I'm a big picture star, just like Oscar March.
Oscar March? Oscar, I never heard of him.
Well, that shows how much you know. Oscar March is a star, Death of a Salesman. Why, he may even win a Frederick this year.
You know something, Jer? You're gonna drive me to the bug house.
Oh, no, you don't, Dean Martin. I'll stand still for doing the laundry, but I'm not going to be your chauffeur.
Jerry, driving someone to the bug house is just a figure of speech.
Oh, well, that's different. Will you pay for the gas?
Look, now, let's stop arguing, huh? Nobody wins anyway. It's like an immovable object that meets an
irresistible, I know this.
An immovable object that meets an irresistible force.
I was right. Dean.
What?
I'm irresistible.
All right, Jer. I give up. You win. Tell me, who's our first guest tonight?
Gosh, Dean, we don't have a first guest, but I have an idea that I think we will find Peachy, Ginger, Dandy, Snappy, and Keen.
You're good boy.
Why don't we do one of those tender dramatic scenes, you know, where you sing one part and I talk the other part?
Well, all righty, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry and I give you our impression of a man whose girlfriend has just run out on him. He's trying to forget her, but everything he touches recalls another memory. And away we go.
A cigarette that bears a lipstick's traces.
Why does that man insist upon wearing makeup?
An airline ticket to romantic places.
Romantic places. We took one lousy flight from Idlewood to Burbank. Even then we were grounded 6 times because of dust.
And still my heart has wings.
What happened to the mimer?
These foolish things remind me of you.
We had so much to make us happy. You love me despite my old clothes, and I love you despite your old nose.
A tinkling piano in the next apartment.
I haven't slept a wink in 3 days.
Those stumbling words that told you what my heart meant.
What stumbling words? You slapped my back, I boy.
A fairground's painted swing. These foolish things remind me of you.
Foolish things, my foot, they're ridiculous. I was saying to Selma just the other day, Selma, I said, no, listen to this. Selma, I said, you have no idea. He carries on about the least little thing, my lipstick traces, my airline tickets, my painted swings. To help me, I'll go mad from that man.
You came, you saw, you conquered me.
Well, I did beat you 2 fulls out of 3.
When you did that to me, I knew somehow it had to be.
Like I told Selma, this thing is just too big for the both of us.
The winds of March that make my heart a dancer.
The winds of March, indeed. Why, that poor Arthur Murray worked his feet to the bone.
telephone rings, but who's to answer? Oh, how the ghost of you clings.
You can't forget me, Bubby.
These foolish things
remind me of you.
Thank you very much. And now we turn from foolish things to pleasant ones as we all sound off for Chesterfield. I'm the straight man, you're the wit. Go ahead and do your bit.
I can't think of a single joke, but I'll tell you what, you ought to smoke Chesterfield.
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 Milder, 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 milder Chesterfield. That's right. We've played all over the USA, from Walla Walla to Buzzards Bay.
From Battle Creek to Old Mobile, the folks are changing to Chesterfield. Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Sound off.
For Chesterfield.
Buy a pack of Chesterfields. Do it.
Today.
It's a fact, ladies and gentlemen, all over America, more and more smokers are sounding off for Chesterfield. Getting Chesterfield Mildness Plus, no unpleasant aftertaste. Smoking pleasure all the way. How about you? Enjoy your smoking. Change to Chesterfield's today. Well, folks, comes time to hit a high spot in the evening's festivities with the introduction of our guest of the evening. And I might add that I can't think of an introduction that would give me greater pleasure. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is. Frank Sinatra.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Dino. Where's the idiot?
Well, I wish you wouldn't call him that. After all, the kid is my partner, and we worked together for years, and, well, I'd just rather you wouldn't.
Well, I'm sorry, Dean. I didn't realize, you know.
I don't mean to be a square, but that's the way I feel.
All right, Dean, I promise not to say it again.
Good. Now, before the idiot louses us up, how about a song?
For my pleasure, Dean.
How glad the many millions of Annabelles and Lillians would be to capture me. But you had such persistence, you wore down my resistance. I fell, and it was swell. I'm your big and brave and handsome Romeo. How I won you, I shall never, never know. It's not that I'm attractive, but oh, my heart grew active when you came into view. I've got a crush on you, sweetie pie. All the day and night time, hear me sigh. I never had the least notion that I could fall with so much emotion. Could you coo and could you care for a cunning cottage that we both could share? The whole world will pardon my mush, but I have got a crush, my baby, on you.
Frankie, That was great, really great. And now, if you'll stand by, we'll find out what Jimmy Wallington has a crush on.
Well, thank you, Dean. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to know a quick, easy way to ease pain of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, then by all means try Anacin. Your own dentist or physician may at one time or another have handed you an envelope containing Anacin tablets. Then you already know how incredibly fast and effectively Anacin brings relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients. For your own sake, try Anacin. Anacin is sold to you on this guarantee. If the first few tablets do not give you all the relief you want as fast as you want it, you may return the unused portion and your money will be refunded. You can get Anacin tablets at any drug counter. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100.
Hey, Dean, is your voice changing? I heard your song and... All right, buddy, the hospital is two blocks away.
Jared, this boy doesn't need the hospital.
You're right, Dean. Hey, buddy, it's four blocks to Forest Lawn.
Hey, Dean, I don't know who this guy is, but I like him. This kid makes me look good, you know.
Frankie, he's my partner, Jerry Lewis. Go over and introduce yourself to him.
Well, all right. You sure he won't bite? Jerry, I'd like to introduce myself.
Let Dean do it, kid. You better lie down.
Now, listen, Apehead. I'm Frank Sinatra.
You mean you're Frank Sinatra, the singer on radio and television and picture star?
That's right.
Hey, is it true that you stand in for carrots when they photograph salads?
Well, I
mean, when mosquitoes bite you, do they get anything more than practice?
Well, gosh, I don't...
Hey, now, tell it, too. Can you touch your hands over your head without being threaded?
Hey, now, just a minute. How long do you think I have to stand here for these insults?
Just as long as we get laughs, Frank.
Now, Jerry, this is no way to act towards Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, well, what makes you think he's Frank Sinatra anyway? If he was Sinatra, he certainly wouldn't be here with us.
No? Where would I be?
Home with Ava.
You know, for an idiot, this kid makes a lot of sense.
I was just kidding, Frankie. We're really very glad you could come tonight, honest. We're real lucky to have you as a guest. Yes, sirree. We sure are fortunate to have you as our guest. And I mean it, too. Hey, Dean, Como couldn't come?
Jared, can't you show a little more respect? After all, Frank is one of our most popular singers.
What did you say?
I said Frank is one of our most popular singers.
What did you say?
What's the matter with you? Can't you hear?
Oh, sure. I just like the way you turn green when you say it. Don't be jealous, booby.
Dino doesn't have to be jealous. He's got a fine voice.
You're a good boy, Frank.
As a matter of fact, Dean, you sound a little like Crosby.
Oh, I haven't been too well.
Been sick.
You really sing real good, too, Frank. I just bought a whole bunch of your records. 82 records for 39 cents. Yeah, they forgot to put the hole in the middle.
You know, one good clop, I could put this kid away.
I didn't know you were that tough, Frank.
Did you know I used to be a boxer?
Yeah, and I used to be a Cocker Spaniel.
Don't mess with me, kid. Where I was raised, you had to be tough.
Same with me. Had to fight all the time.
Me, too. All the time. It was nothing but fists, fists, fists.
Really?
Sure. I was 12 years old before I knew I had fingers.
Ah, those childhood memories. You know, I'll never forget them.
Yeah, I remember when I first learned to tie my shoelaces. Seems like only yesterday.
What yesterday? It was this morning.
Hey, you know, fellas, I wonder what it would have been like if the three of us had grown up together. I mean, all part of the same gang in the same neighborhood.
Well, let's roll up our pants legs and find out.
Ladies and gentlemen, Although most of us would like to, it's impossible for us to return to those carefree days of our childhood. Tonight, however, through the magic of radio, Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis, and Frank Sinatra shall realize this ambition. And so, let's turn back the clock.
My name is Dino. Me and my pal Muscles are the toughest kids on this block.
My name is Muscles. And whoever gave me that name ought to have his head examined.
My name is Jerome. I have my head examined all the time. I'm brand new in this thing, boy. Boy, wait till these fellas see what a load of laughs I am. No kidding. I'm a ton of fun. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, I will speak to them. Hello, fellows.
Shut up.
Goodbye, fellow.
Wait a second. You gotta go home now.
Yeah, I'm a babysitter. I sit on my baby brother.
You sit with the baby, not on him.
So how come they call him Flat Top?
By the way, kid, how did you get that cauliflower ear?
I got it from beer.
You got that ear from drinking beer?
No, Dad uses it to open the bottle.
Let's go, Dino. We only play with the tough guys.
Well, I'm tough. You should have seen me this morning. I kicked Brownie right in her stomach.
Yeah, who's Brownie?
My teddy bear.
Come on, Dino. I tell you, this kid's a sissy.
What makes you think he's a sissy?
He's wearing underwear.
I'll handle them, Muscles. Look, Junior, didn't your mother ever tell you the facts of life?
Oh, but I was eavesdropping when she told him to Dad.
Then you do know what girls are.
Sure, I seen them at parties. They're the ones that dance backwards.
What are you talking about? You're ugly. Girls wouldn't go for you anyway.
Yeah, well, I'd like to know what kind of girls would ever go for you.
You'd be surprised.
Surprised? I'm flabbergasted.
Hey, that's funny. You're a comedian.
No, you're a comedian.
You want to bet?
You know what I want to be?
What?
When I grow up, I want to be a sailor.
Yeah? What would you do? What would you do if somebody fell overboard?
I'd throw them a lifesaver.
And what if you didn't have a lifesaver?
I'd throw them a Hershey bar.
You can keep all that sailor stuff. I'm going to be a singer.
You want to bet?
Hey, Dean, what do you say we go down to the corner, huh?
Yeah, I want to buy an ice cream cone. See, I got a dime.
I got an idea. Let's go eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and we'll see who gets the cone.
Hey, that's a good idea. I like that.
With my dime, why not?
Okay, now here goes. Eeny, meeny, miny. Well, I get the cone.
What happened to moe?
There ain't no moe. Well, here's the ice cream.
Go ahead, Dino. You can take the first lick.
Hey, fellows, I say, that's my cone. No, fellas, don't lick it. No, I don't care if you hold it, but don't lick it. I mean, you boys are my friends and everything, but don't lick it.
Okay, you win. It don't pay to argue over a cone anyway.
Yeah, let's be friends from now on.
Sure, when we grow up, we can all look back at the time we were kids and we can say...
School days, school days, dear old golden rule days. Oh, how we loved all those childish games.
Spinning the bottle and kissing games.
I was so sad when school was through.
When they threw me out, I felt so blue.
I was voted the boy most likely to.
Most likely to what?
I don't know. The class broke up early. How we missed those old childhood days. I broke my yo-yo.
Well, While Frank, Jerry, and I play hooky for a little while, let's turn the classroom over to Professor Wallington.
Well, thank you, Dean. And now here's something of interest to everybody. For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out, and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine. You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine. So for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Well, I was flipping through the pages of Variety the other day, and I found a little number that the disc jockeys around the country say is number one on the request list, and they're the boys who should know. So, with your kind permission, here's the little white cloud that cried.
I went strolling down by the river, feeling very sad inside, when all at once I saw in the sky the little white cloud that cried. He told me he was very lonesome, no one cared if he lived or died, and said sometimes the thunder and lightning would make all the little clouds high. He said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'll always remember the little white cloud that cried. He said, have faith in all kinds of weather, for the sun will always shine. Do your best and always remember the dark clouds pass with time. He asked me if I'd tell all the world just how hard all little clouds try. That's why I think I'll always remember the little white cloud that sat right down and cried.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, folks. Well, as we draw the curtain on the first 30 minutes of our show tonight, Jerry and I want to remind you that we'll all be back, including our guest Frank Sinatra, in about a minute. So please stick around and join us, won't you? In the meantime,
we'd like to thank Look Magazine for the wonderful story and cover in the current issue, now on the newsstands.
See you in about 60 seconds. So long.
Hollywood, you have just heard transcribed the first 30 minutes of the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, brought to you by Chesterfield. Sound off for Chesterfield. Get something new, something no other cigarette has. Chesterfield's mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. By Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. By Dentine, the gum with the breathtaking flavor. And by Bemis Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And remember this, ladies and gentlemen. Stay right with us, because in just 30 seconds from now, Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis will be back again.
Tonight, hear Seat of Violence, presented by Short Story on NBC. Transcribed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this special edition to the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show is brought to you by your local Buick dealer to celebrate the nationwide premiere of the new 1952 Buick tomorrow, January 19th. And now here again is your master of ceremonies, Dean Martin.
Well, folks, I don't know of a better way to start off this special 15 minutes than having you meet our next guest. Some weeks ago, we had a young lady in our show, and we sang a tune that must have caught the fancy of a lot of people. Here's the lovely and talented Miss Carol Richards to join in a second helping of that old soft shoe.
Give me the old soft shoe. I said the old soft shoe. A-tune. Play me that old soft shoe, and nothing else will do. That's the dance my darling used to do.
We sang love's refrain,
just like a vaudeville team.
Dance the whole night through.
We had the cutest routine,
strolling lover's lane.
Word my bonnet to scream,
we'd harmonize and doodly-doodly-do.
Give me that old soft shoe. I said that old soft shoe. A one, a two, a doodly doodly do. Give me that old soft shoe, and nothing else will do. That's the dance my darling used to do.
Take a look at that crowd. Look at the people we got.
Isn't that wonderful? We're really packing them in. Hey, look at that old fella in the first row. I wonder what's the matter with him.
Why?
Well, he's been here for 8 shows.
Well, I'm wearing his shoes.
Oh.
We sang love's refrain.
Dean, you were the king of them all.
Danced the whole night through.
And I was the belle of the ball.
Strolling lover's lane.
Weren't my dresses a scream?
We'd harmonize and doodly doodly do. Give me that old soft shoe. I said that old soft shoe.
A one,
a two, a doodly doodly do.
Play me that old soft shoe, and nothing else will do. It reminds me of the only love I ever knew.
That old,
not the new,
and not the hard,
but the soft shoe.
Soft shoe. Thank you, Carol. That was very, very sweet.
Hey, Dean, come here. I got a secret to tell you.
I'm sorry, Jerry. You'll have to speak up. I can't hear what you're saying.
Okay. I said I have a secret to tell you. Did you hear me that time?
I'm afraid so. What's your secret?
Well, Dean, you know, the new 1952 Buicks aren't unveiled till tomorrow. And, Dean, I just peeked behind a curtain at one of the new 1952 Buicks.
Oh, dear. Folks, I can't really say I blame Jerry for being unable to resist an advance peek at the new 1952 Buicks. New Buicks are always exciting news. And in times like these, when people are saying the 1952 cars will be pretty much like last year's, these new Buicks are doubly surprising.
For the new 52 Buicks bring you advanced new features. Dynamic new power. Sensational new economy. Brilliant new styling inside as well as out. So don't miss the big showing. Be among the first to see the exciting new Buicks at your Buick dealers tomorrow.
Hey, Dean!
Aw, Jerry. Why must you come out screaming like this? Why must you be so bellicose?
Here now, I'm afraid I'll have to ask you to watch your language.
Jerry, bellicose only means audible.
Don't kid me, Jasper. An audible is a thing with four wheels and a women smash them into other audibles.
No, that's automobile.
Don't confuse me, Clarence. Automobile's a town in Alabama.
Jerry, that's mobile.
Oh, no. Mobile is the oil you put in audibles.
No, that's mobile oil.
Oh, stop it, Dean. Mobile oil is from the song and the opera. Lord, don't name mobile oil. Lord, don't...
Jerry, what's the... I'm going and not coming back.
I'm not coming back.
No, Dean, don't leave me. Don't forsake this poor, sick child.
It's no use, Jer. I'm adamant.
Yeah, how's Eve? Dean, will you do me one favor before you go?
What's that?
Stay.
Oh, all right. Jerry, I have no more time to argue. I'm expecting a very important guest, the famous marriage expert.
Rashleen, I forgot to tell you, he can't make it tonight.
So what are we going to do?
Why not let me take the part of the famous marriage expert?
Well, what do you know about marriage?
What do I know about marriage? One of my closest friends is married.
Who? Who?
My wife.
Oh. Ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to have with us one of the world's greatest experts on domestic life. He is responsible for more happy marriages than any other living man. Direct from the Viennese Institution of Matrimony, I am proud to introduce Dr. Conrad von Krutz. Dr. von Krutz, I understand you know everything about the state of wedded bliss.
Yes, yes, indeed. When it comes to wedded bliss, I'm a regular blister.
Tell me, Doctor, what do you think of divorce?
Well, with a good jockey, I put a dollar on his nose.
I said divorce, not horse.
Horse, that's where you get in the throat.
Look, we did this before.
Yeah, but left we got. Let's not fight it.
Doctor, I know you saved many marriages from breaking up. Could you tell us about any special case?
Well, one time a couple comes to me, he hates she hates he. They talk to me and all of a sudden they are having a fight in my office. Before I know it, they are beating me and kicking me and scratching me.
Wow, what a horrible experience.
It's just in a day's voice to me. I stay cool like a cucumber. I looked up as they were beating me and stopped them with one word.
What was that?
Help.
What was the most unusual match you ever made?
Well, once I made a match that burned for 16 days.
No.
It was 1 inch long and on the head was 6 pounds of sulfur.
No. You don't understand. I was referring to an unusual love affair.
For 16 days, this match went steady with a candle. This is a usual affair.
Dr. Von Krutz, what do you think of family life today?
Families are too small today. Years ago, everybody had at least 12 kids. I had 18 brothers and sisters.
19 children? Oh, that's marvelous. Are they all well?
Oh, they're fine, but mother don't feel so good.
Well, that's too bad.
Well, you never know where those measles will strike next.
Oh, get out of here.
Oh, no, you get out. How about a few holes of golf tomorrow morning, huh?
Sorry, Jerry, but I can't. You see, tomorrow morning I've got an important day.
What's that, Dean?
Well, after what you told me, I've decided to take my whole family to see the new 1952 Buicks.
Okay, I'll go with you. They're wonderful. They're beautiful. I saw that.
I know, but they're beautiful. I got it.
Now, there's a good idea for all of you folks. For remember, tomorrow morning the all-star lineup of new 1952 Buicks goes on display at your Buick dealers. And believe you me, they're the smartest, smoothest riding Buicks you've ever seen, with new surprise features you thought years away. So don't miss the fun. Bring the whole family to see the advanced new Roadmasters, the exciting new Supers, and the brilliant new specials that combine big car luxury with economy price. Yes, don't miss the new 1952 Buicks at your Buick dealers tomorrow.
Well, I've had to learn many songs over the years, and most of them are forgotten soon after the last note fades. But the great ones stick in your memory, such is the case with this old favorite.
The song that you sang so sweetly, you call it our love's refrain. It's gone and I'm left completely out in the cold again. I dreamed that our love would linger, but just memories remain. As I gaze at that ringless finger out in the cold again. True, it hurts my pride to step aside for somebody new, but deep down inside, my whole world depended on you. I wanted your arms around me to shelter me from the rain. But now I'm back where you found me, out in the cold again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much.
That was a real wonderful job, Dino. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks, Frankie. It's always a kick to get a praise from another singer.
Hey, Dean, Dean. Hey, Dean! The horrible thing happened.
Wow, what happened?
I can't find Frank Sinatra. He's disappeared.
Jerry, Frank Sinatra is standing right here beside me.
Are you sure?
Of course I'm sure.
Good heavens, and I lost my fountain pen.
You know, before we call it a night, how about knocking off one quick chorus together?
That sounds good to me.
What am I supposed to do while you're singing?
Why don't you run out and get a tattoo?
Listen here, Dean Martin. He's just here once, but I'm here all the time. If he sings with you, I'm going to too.
Well, let's face it, Frankie. We got a trio. Let's do a round.
After you, my good man.
Crazy. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily,
row,
merrily,
row,
merrily,
row
merrily,
your boat gently down the stream.
Merrily, merrily, merrily,
row,
merrily,
row,
merrily,
row your boat gently down the stream.
Hey.
Merrily, merrily,
hey.
Merrily,
hey.
Was I rushing?
You better save this for another day, Frankie.
Well, good night, boys. You've both been bricks through the whole ugly mess. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Frankie. Before we say goodnight, I want to tell everybody that we just heard from Marion Marshall, who's in Chicago, and she says that everybody is coming through wonderfully for the March of Dimes. Don't forget, folks, the March of Dimes needs your contribution to help the many infantile paralysis sufferers throughout the country. Please give all you can spare.
So until next week, this is Dean Martin.
And Jerry Lewis reminding you that we appear on radio through the courtesy of Hal Wallace Productions, producers of our new picture, Sailor Beware. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
See you.
From the Hollywood, you have just heard transcribed the Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis Show, written by Ed Simmons and Norman Lear, produced and directed by Dick Pack, with music under the direction of Dick Stabile. This special portion of the Martin and Lewis Show has been brought to you by your local Buick dealer, who invites you to a premier showing of the new 1952 Buicks starting tomorrow morning. Remember, you'll have your first chance to see the new Buicks tomorrow at your local Buick dealer.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.